The joy we share as we tarry there. If you've ever spent any time with God, if you really spent time alone with God, it's the most wonderful time. I believe it. You have to do it. I can't tell you. I can only tell you how great it is for me to talk to God and to love Him and lean on Him and to feel that presence. But it's, when you find it, then you'll tell me how wonderful it is, because it is wonderful. Amen. Let's pray together this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Give him praise and be seated. Enjoy yourself. Jesus said that your joy will be full. So have full joy this morning. Amen. We're blessed today. Look at our church today. We are blessed today in this beautiful building talking about God. How can anything be better than that? Praise the Lord. Zippy's going to sing later. It doesn't get any better than that. Praise God. We've created a monster. In your beautiful bulletin that beautiful Marilyn has made for you, we have a responsive reading. That's when I read and then you read God's word. I didn't make this up. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise his name of the Lord. Can I refer to that first line again if you think I'm a little crazy when I say give him praise? What does it say? What's the word? Praise the Lord. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be what? Praise. Hallelujah. You read. Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high? He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Everybody together, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There you go. Good reading. You just read from God's word. Did anybody not understand any of that? Because I hear people all the time, well, the Bible's a little confusing. I don't know. I don't know how to read it. Did anybody not understand what we just read? Praise the Lord. Because when you praise him, you get your mind off of what? Your troubles. When you're talking to God, you get your mind off of what? Your troubles. When you're giving God your heart, you're getting your mind off the things that are getting you down. Because God wants you to get up. What's better than that? The quiz? You know, it's we're talking about children before, and that's what the sermon's on today. My heart is just so on fire for this, but I was just thinking about man and about adults. Do you know there's churches, and I'm telling you, there's churches that won't say, thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Some churches say, oh, we don't say that. See, Judy knows that, right? You see, we can't even get people of Christ to agree. We can't get people who go to church to agree on anything. You see, that's adults, right? When you're a kid, you do what you're told and you just do it. You don't ask questions. But when you get older, you've got your own. Well, I'm not going to do that. Why? Well, we don't do that. What was wrong? Is there anything wrong with thine is the kingdom? No. Is he got a kingdom?
Yes.
Does he have glory?
Yes.
And whose glory is it? Whose power is it?
Yes.
So why not say it? But I'm just saying, you see, even men can't get along. Smart men can't get along. But somehow they know what to teach our children. Praise God. Don't get me started. I'm going to be on that in a minute. All right. Okay, it's quiz time. In our quiz this morning, we have a couple of questions that we actually had once before. Before you tell me, I'm telling you. To see how many get it right, Deacon Sergio. When talking about his bride in the Song of Songs, to what does the king not liken his bride's beauty to? Not. talking about his bride in the Song of Songs, to what does the king not liken his bride's beauty to? Tower of ivory? Oh, your beauty is like a tower of ivory. Roses? Roses? Or twin fawns? Anybody ever see fawns? Twin fawns. Your beauty is like twin fawns. To what does he not liken his bride's beauty to? How many think tower of ivory? He doesn't say tower of ivory. No. How about roses? Anybody want to say roses? How many twin fawns? Twin fawns are beautiful. I think a woman would love to be compared to twin fawns. The answer is roses. He never says roses. And a lot of people got that right. Good. When the bride goes to her lover in the Song of Songs, where does she awaken him? Up on the mountain, in the Tower of Lebanon, or under an apple tree? Don't say it under the apple tree. So when the bride goes to her lover in the Song of Songs, that's the Song of Solomon, by the way, where does she awaken him? How many think up on the mountain? She awakens him up on the mountain. How many think it's in the Tower of Lebanon? How many think it's under an apple tree? You nailed it, Lily. Under an apple tree! Songs of Solomon 8:5. Look it up. So that song, Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree, see? Somebody wrote that because they knew the Bible. Here's one you might not remember. You might kind of give it some thought. How old was Jesus when his parents left him behind at the temple in Jerusalem? Was he 11? Was he 12 or was he 13? How old was Jesus when his parents left him behind at the temple of Jerusalem? How many think he was 11? Anybody 11? How many think he was 12? How many think he was 13? We ain't doing that anymore. It was 12. I told Marianne and Jim that we do quizzes and when too many people get the question right, I got to cross it up. We're not using that one anymore. Now, you remember David? Yes, I know you remember. And Saul, when King Saul and David, and they had all these battles together, David and Saul fighting and all the wars and stuff, and Saul was a king before David. Saul had a son. Say that three times. Saul had a son. And whose son? What was the son's name? Ooh, was it Kish? K-I-S-H? Was it Eli? Or was it Jonathan? Saul's son. How many think his name, Saul's son, was named Kish? We have some. How many think it was Eli? How many think it was Jonathan? Actually, it was one of David's best friends. It was Jonathan, his son. We got one more for you today, folks. In the parable of the sower, the plant from which seed was scorched by the sun and withered? In the parable of the sower. I love this. There's so much lessons in there. People come into church and they hear a little bit and then they leave and they forget what they heard. Or people come and they get a little bit of the word and they feel for a while and all of a sudden the problems of the day come and they forget that. It's a beautiful parable. The plant from which seed was scorched by the sun and withered? Was it the seed that fell among thorns? The seed that fell by the wayside? Or the seed that fell on stony ground? How many think that seed that scorched by the sun and withered was the seed that fell among the thorns? Anybody? How many the seed that fell by the wayside? How about the seed that fell on stony ground? We're not doing this one anymore. The seed that fell on stony ground. Hallelujah. Matthew, Mark 4, actually, you can find that story. It's a beautiful parable. And it talks about, when you read it, you'll understand, especially if you go to church all the time. You get people who come to church once or twice and they feel this is really good. And then something happens and they leave. They don't come back. Other people come and they get hungry for what they heard. And they really like coming to church. But all of a sudden, the problems of the day and the world and these, I got to go here and I got to go here. And they put God on the back burner. You see that people do that all the time. They say, I don't have time for God today. Even though God gave me all that I have, if you believe that in your heart, then you have to start seeing. If God has blessed you with all you have, and the last time you have is for God. But that's what the sower is all about. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Marilyn. Yeah. that was the quiz. I just threw it away. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We have a beautiful day today. Amen. My heart has been on this sermon for a long time. Thank you, Lord. In your bulletin, you will find scripture readings. Let me read them to you today. Mark 18:10, it says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Isn't that beautiful? Jesus says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Psalms 127:3 says this beautiful, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb is a reward." Children are a heritage from who? And Isaiah 54 says, "All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children." How many want peace for your children? Tell me true. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace for your children. I'm going to read a little bit from Psalm 78. I'm going to read 78, 1 to 8, if you want to go home and read it again. It says, "Give ear, all my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we should have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done." Listen to that again. We will not hide them from who? The children. Telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. And his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make known to their children, that generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they might arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God." Their hope in who, church? "And not forget the works of God." The works of who, church? "But keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation did not set his heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful in God." That's powerful. We should teach our children. We show them, we tell them about God. Our children will tell their children, and their children will tell their children, that they may set their hope in God, not man. We see what happens when you hope in man, and not forget the works of God. That's why I tell you every week how beautiful and how blessed we are. You need to understand the blessings that you have in your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. My childhood, even at my age, is something I remember and I cherish. The beautiful things that I had, the things that I learned, the things that I saw. My mother giving me love in a house that I didn't know we were poor. I said that before. Mama worked hard in a laundromat. I didn't know what she, but I didn't know we were in need because I had love. And Mama was always there. I walked to school, all the way to school and walked home. Anybody did that? I had special toys that I loved to play with. Anybody have toys that you had to play with? Not computer games, not video games. Listen, I'm not just saying. I had a toy that I had to physically go outside and play with. How many remember going outside and play? Not a care in the world. How many stayed outside till your mother called you, till your father called you? Isn't that beautiful? That's what a child is. That's child. That's what you're supposed to. You get one chance at that. How many? One chance at that. If we don't teach our children to follow God, the world will teach them not to. Good to see you, Brother Jim. If we don't teach our children to follow God, Elder?
What was that?
I'm sorry?
Isaiah,
what
you read?
Isaiah 54:13.
What is it?
It's in your bulletin. Oh, that was Psalm 78. Nope.
Okay.
Psalm 78, 1 through 8, and the three bulletin things.
Sorry.
No, elder, don't be sorry. We're in this together. If you're confused, I don't want you to be confused. Amen? Anybody remember the Three Stooges? I never took a handsaw to my friend's head. I never poked my friend in the eye. I never hit him in the head with a hammer. But I enjoyed everything and I laughed at it. It was so good. Bugs Bunny. Leave It to Beaver. How many remember Leave It to Beaver? That's growing up. I'm watching that. Leave It to Beaver. I saw things on that show I didn't see in my home. I know my wife's going to say. I saw Mrs. Cleaver, Barbara Billingsley, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Judy. She had a dress on, high heels, and an apron making supper. My mother never had high heels and a dress on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The Little Rascals. What so much? That was everything. Innocence. Innocent. Buckley, yeah. Innocence. Without prejudice, and I wrote prejudice, a preconceived opinion that is not based on reason. I had no prejudice against Buckley Dow. I loved them. I wish I could have met them. They were my friends. Without laughing, playing, sharing, for a short time in our lives, the toys that we used to play with. I know you all have your favorite toys. I got mine. Then in my head, I wish sometimes I can go out and play with him again. So I said, did we get too old to remember? I wrote that right here. Are we too old to remember the innocence of our youth? Did we hate anybody? No. Did we anything? Did we judge anybody? No, we didn't understand judging. And like I said, you didn't know my life. They didn't. I didn't know their life. So what was to judge? And this is the funny thing, and I said it before, man cannot agree. Can I get an amen? You see it on TV now. You got on this side doctors, and you got on this side doctors, people that we respect. They can't agree on COVID, amen? They can't agree whether to get the shot or not, or whether they're this or that. And I'm just saying that they can't agree, amen? Men, grown men and women cannot agree. They argue. Anybody ever see people argue? They have different what? Opinions. Are they wrong? No. Somehow, and this is where I'm coming from today, but somehow all these people who fight about everything, you got doctors who fight against doctors and all this, somehow they've all come together and know exactly what we should be teaching our children. These people that can't agree on anything. Even in church, hallelujah, Jesus, we love you. They can't agree. Should we say thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory? No, I don't think we should. Why not? Well, we don't say that in our church. Why not? I don't know, but we don't. They can't even agree. Yet somehow they want to tell us what we should teach our little children. Jesus spoke about the little children, amen? He called the little child to him. He said, childlike faith. Anybody ever hear that in the Bible, childlike faith? Pastor Grace showed me what that meant one time. She took a little boy and one of a little girl in one of the healing services we did, and she put the little girl on the stage. And the girl, probably 2 years old, and she stood in front of her and she said, come on, honey, jump. And the girl just jumped into her arms. I said, that's it. That's childlike faith. She didn't think, oh, something's going to happen. She just thought, oh, there you are, I'm jumping. It's called childlike faith, to believe God, to believe Jesus with childlike faith. Get rid of all the other noise. Amen? Thank you, Father. But they can't agree. But somehow, they forgot what it's like to be a child. Somehow, maybe they had a bad childhood. I don't know. But whatever they're trying to do, they're coming after our children. I'm not saying it's right. I don't know enough about what they want to teach, okay? I want to be honest with you. I'll give you an opinion. I don't know enough about everything they want to teach. But everything that I hear that they want to teach, I say, why does a 6-year-old need to hear that? Why does an 8-year-old have to hear that? Why are you doing this to their childhood? Why are you doing this at the time in their life when they have the most innocence and freedom where they can just be? What are you thinking? And they don't even agree. You got teachers over here and teachers over here agreeing and disagreeing. Amen? Can I get an amen? They don't agree, yet they want to tell us what to teach our children. God's children. Amen? God gave us children to prove that life should go on. Everybody has children so that life continues. How many had great-grandfather? Anybody have a great-great-grandfather? And what is that? That means life has what, church? Continued. We went to school to learn the basics, to get ready to learn more. Amen? It's that simple. To learn how to read, to learn how to write, arithmetic, spelling, how to draw. Anybody have art in school? Let me tell you, Mr. Kelly was my art teacher. I remember him as being kind and fun. Hallelujah. How to be kind. Miss Litsky was my grammar school teacher. I had it for 2 years. What a glorious thing. We were afraid to go to the next class. How many know that you ever have a teacher ahead of you saying, "Boy, I don't want to be in her class"? Is that true? Am I telling the truth? Well, I had a teacher the next year. I said, "I don't want to be in her class." And I went to school and I sat down and in walked Miss Litsky. She said, "I've been moved up. I'm your teacher." 2 years. One of the most sweetest, kindest teachers you could ever have. You see, that's what grew me, her kindness. I don't remember what she taught me. I was a kid. I don't remember what she looked like, except that she was kind. She might have been pretty, I don't know. But I remember that I loved that she was kind and gentle, and she didn't get anything. She didn't stir me up to anger or anything. She just taught me. Or music. How did anybody take music in school, in grammar school? We had Mr. Defala, an absolute master musician. He played all kinds of horns. He played trumpet. He played all the horns. He wrote music. He was also a very kind music. He didn't yell at us. This man taught professional people. This man worked with professional people. But there I was, 10 years old, and he's trying to teach me how to play the clarinet. And he didn't yell at me. He didn't scream, because he just wanted me to learn. Because that's why I was in school. To do what? To learn. Learn things. And the saddest part about all this, if you watch the news or hear anything, our schools are failing our children. Not about what they're teaching them. Every time I hear, where are we ranked in the country, in the world in math, or science, or spelling, or arithmetic, or somehow we're not number one. Somehow we're not number two, number three, number four. So these schools who want to teach our children all this other stuff haven't taught them the things that they need to learn first, amen? How to spell, how to write, how to treat each other, respect. So they got beyond everything that they failed, everything that they're failing, and because the kids are failing in inner cities, amen? Because the teachers aren't, whatever they're not doing, the kids are failing. Yet in the middle of all that failure, they got more. Praise God. Anybody remember your first male teacher? Maybe it was to you. Anybody? My first male teacher was in the seventh grade. Greg, you have a male teacher? No? God. Greg said he didn't remember his first one. Eh? Yep. Mr. Duggan was my first teacher. Let me tell you something, church. I was afraid. I just had this sixth grade teacher. She was really nice. We had a nice time. I walk in and there's a man standing behind the desk. Whoops. I learned how to behave with that teacher. I saw one kid get put up against the locker in the room, and I said, "I'm not going to let that be me." You see, that one little lesson, he never did it again, and I never did it at all. Because I learned respect. I learned how to ready, behave, or else. Did any of you ever tell your kids, "You better behave in school. I better not get a report from school, because if you think it's bad in school, wait until you get home." Anybody ever say that to your kids? Really, right? What's that all about? Are you mean? No, you're teaching them respect, to do better. Don't talk back to your teachers. Don't say things to your teachers, because if I get wind of it, you're in trouble. Anybody here ever get a detention? Charlie, Chuck, don't put your hand up. He surrendered. I went to Derby High School. This kind of doesn't go with that, but it's my what I remember. And as a freshman, there were so many kids that we had to go in the afternoon. So Derby High School went 12 to 5. Our day school started at 12, so I didn't have to get up early, Roger. And we had so much snow one year, because of climate change, I guess. Back in 66, there was climate change. We had so much snow that we canceled school, so we had to go to 3 Saturdays in a row. They wanted us to go to school. And they said, if you didn't go to school on Saturday, Jim, you got a detention. You know how many I got? 3. Let's go to school on Saturday. I'm going fishing. Our first male teacher, Mr. Duggan, thank you for everything you taught me. Thank you for the, it was a whole different life change to be in his classroom. Mr. Hartung, the year after that. We learned how to play games in school. Anybody remember the games that you played outside? You learn how to win. And you learn how to lose. Isn't that amazing? You learn how to lose. You learn that boys had to be respectful, of girls. Fred? Boys had to be respectful of girls. You learned that. You were taught that. It wasn't hard to see why you should be, amen? But some boys had to learn to be respectful of girls. That was a nice thing. It wasn't evil. It wasn't mean. It was just nice. My granddaughter, we took her to Disney World for her 8th birthday. This is interesting to me because it goes with what I'm trying to tell you. She was 8. It was Disney. You think she remember every single thing that we did at Disney? Not at school, but at Disney. You think 8 years old, she's going to remember? Doreen and I remember 1,000 things. I don't remember that. I don't remember that. I don't remember that. This was Disney. She was 8, and she didn't remember things that she did.
Remember that we had a cot brought into our room so she could sleep on it.
Yeah, that's right. Does she remember that, though? Because her mind and her memory was just beginning to grow. She was 8. She was just beginning to take. This was Disney. You think she remember everything? No, because her mind wasn't ready to remember all that stuff, to retain all that stuff. To go. She knows she had a great time and she loved being with Nana, but she could be with Nana doing nothing and have a great time. But isn't it interesting that at 8 years old, she doesn't remember because her mind wasn't ready. She was enjoying life. She was enjoying the fact that she was there and had a great time. So remove confusion so they can learn. That's what we need to do. Remove confusion. Amen. We want less confusion for our children and your grandchildren to learn. Amen. Not more confusion. Because if they get more confusion, what are they going to be? Confused. There you go. Thank you. It's true. Amen. So, Pastor, how do we teach them about God? Oh, yeah, I wrote that. I want to miss that. I forgot that one. I'll get to that. So, how do we teach them about God? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Are we going to teach them to judge others? You think that's a good thing to start with? A 7-year-old to judge others? How about teaching them to be guilty? To feel guilt about something they had nothing to do with. They're 7 years old. They have no idea what guilt is, but somehow they have to be guilty of what? That's what they're... Amen? Is that good or bad? Is that stealing their childhood? I don't want no 7-year-old feeling guilty about anything. Privileged. Oh, you're privileged. I don't know anything about being privileged. We were poor. I didn't know it. My mom was good. I guess then I walked to school back and forth. I didn't know about privilege. What is privilege? To have running hot water in your house? If that's it, I didn't have it. So who teaches them? Who gets to teach our children these things? Think about that. Who is going to? Who are these people that are going to teach our children to be guilty and to feel guilt and to feel judgment? Motive, agenda, whose? Gender. They're teaching kids about gender, about guilt, about sex. And again, I say, who teaches it? Who gets to teach it? Oh, we can't have Bibles in church, in school. Anybody hear that? No church, no Bible in school. They say no. How many heard that, right? You know we can't have God in school. They've decided that God in school is a no-no. And every church decided, okay, all right, we'll let it go. We'll let it pass. It's not that important that we teach kids about God. Here's the funny part about what I was saying before about the Lord's Prayer. Maybe it's a good thing we don't have people teaching the Bible and God in school, because we have so many people can't agree about God and the Bible. We got people teaching that this book isn't correct anymore, this book needs to be revised, and these things that God said were abominations aren't, and these sins that were aren't. So maybe it's better that we don't have people teaching religion in school. And that's an interesting thought, right? More religion versus religion. My church is bigger than your church. Well, you got to believe like I believe. That's confusion. We can't agree on saying the Lord is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. How are we going to teach our kids? Who's going to teach our kids? Who is teaching our children what they're talking about? The joy of being a child. Say that with me. I think the joy of being a child. Red Sox fans. We got any Red Sox fans in the house? We got any Democrats in the house? Any Republicans in the house? You're laughing at that. Where did you learn that? You learned it at home. If your brother and your father and your are Red Sox fans, you're going to be a Red Sox fan, or they'll throw you out. If your parents are Yankee fans and you're talking about Bobby Richardson and Mickey Mantle, you'll be a Yankee fan. You don't know. That's what they did. And if your mother and father are Democrats and they talk about it and you hear them, chances are you're going to grow up to be a Democrat. Or if they're Republican, it's just the way what they hear. They don't understand it, amen, because heaven knows we don't understand it. We can't agree. But yet they hear that. They learn that at home. Hallelujah. It comes from mom and dad allowing a child to be a child and allowing a child to learn at home with mom and dad. So how do we teach them about God? What lessons, what values that really matter and affect their lives without confusion? Let me say that again. Without confusion. Values that they will remember. How about love? Isn't that a good thing to teach them? How about respect? How about truth? How about how they treat their mom and dad? That's what they should learn, amen? How they treat their mom and dad. How they treat their siblings. How they treat themselves. That's important. Let me say that again. How they treat themselves. All this can and should start early, and it will make a difference. You see, you're teaching them about God without mentioning God. You're teaching them God's morals. You're teaching them God's leadings to be compassionate, to be forgiving. Forgive them. Oh, your brother didn't mean it. Forgive him. Oh, your sister didn't mean it. Forgive her. Give her a hug. How many times have you said that? Oh, give her a hug. That means you're trying to teach forgiveness for both parts. You're trying to teach them compassion. Things that they will remember forever. Love and respect and truth. And their words, what they say, you want to teach them to say the right words. You don't want them to use foul language, so you teach them at home not to, amen? This is important. All this can and should start early, and it will make a difference. Remember, therefore, Walter, they will be watching and listening to guess who? You. You and you. Your words and your attitude. Your faith. Yep, your faith. Does it work for you? They're going to want to know. You go to church. Does it work for you? You believe in Jesus. Does it work for you? What's it doing in your life? How's it changing your life? How does God guide you? How does God help you? They will see in your life. They're watching you like a hawk. Kids do that. Your grandkids do that. They watch every single thing you do and everything you say. They hear and they take that in. They will see quickly whether you believe or not. And guess what? Your friends are the same way. When you talk to your friends about God and Jesus, they will see that you really love Jesus, or you just go to church on Sunday because you're supposed to, because you're going to get a mortal sin and you're going to purgatory for 6 weeks. They want to know. Your children want to know. Are you really talking about God? Is it really true? Your friends, hallelujah. I had friends after 6 months, 8 months of being in the church and going to school for church and taking the courses. My friends started calling me saying, hey, Larry, would you pray with me? Never. They never thought of that before. You see, because I continued to walk forward, they saw my walk. You see, your children see you walk. Do you tell your children, your grandchildren, your friends about God, how the glory of God in your life, not in my life, but in your life, how does this Jesus and his word guide you? How does it help you, Mom? They will see quickly whether you believe or not. Ooh, or not. I'm almost done, guys. I'm just so caught up with this, and I hope that you're enjoying it with me. If we teach them God's ways, they will learn not to hate. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
They will learn not to judge.
Amen.
God says, judge not lest you be judged. They will learn that they are all valuable. They will learn how to share and to give. That it's not the outside that matters, but what's on the inside that counts. How to earn respect, because respect is not, church, given. Nobody's ever given respect. They earn respect. How to talk to their elders. How to talk to their family. Those in authority. How to talk to their teachers. Can I get an amen? You said before, if your kids got in trouble in school, you said you think you're in trouble there, wait until you come home. You said that to your teacher? My daddy taught me to respect people. If I get pulled over by a policeman, anybody ever get this? You open the window. You turn the inside light on. You turn the car off. You show them respect. Are there policemen that are not good? Absolutely. Are there teachers that are not good? Are there pastors that are not good? Absolutely. But I'm telling you that I learned the word respect, and I learned what respect. If you want to get respect, you have to give respect. So I rolled down the window, turned the car off, turned the inside light on. Yes, sir. That's what I call it. Yes, that's what my parents taught me. That's how I was raised, because that's called respect. It wasn't a fear. Of course, I was shaking in my boots. What did I do now? But I learned that from home. That's because God has said we need to do that. But respect is never given, it is earned. How to talk to our elders. If they learn these things, they will be successful. They will be leaders. They will draw people to them. Imagine this. And I ask you again, for yourself, not for me. You know people that you'd like to be around. You all have friends that you like to be around. Why do you like to be around them? Because they're kind. Because they're friendly. Because they smile. Because they have a good attitude. Amen? That's what you teach them. If you do these things, if you follow these, what I'm telling you, you're going to be respected. People are going to want to listen to what you're saying because you're a respectful person. Because you learned how to love and learned how to give and you learned how to be kind. And then people will listen to you. They will listen to your words, and not out of fear or anger, not to raise temperatures, but to heal. Then we all win. God's ways, not in words, but in action. Thank you, Lord. Children are God's gift. Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, your friends' children. That this world will continue and should continue. Now listen to this, please. Teach them to judge, and they will. Teach them that they are victims, and they will be. Teach them that they're not worthy, and they will fail. Teach them to hate, and they will. But teach them respect, and they will be respected. Teach them to give, and they will be givers to others. Teach them to be kind. Teach them that nothing is impossible, and they will soar. Teach them to serve, and they will be heroes. What's so hard about that to understand? Adults cannot get along. Right is wrong, good is bad. Vision is distorted by hate, by greed, by revenge. Don't put your anger in our children or your prejudice. It is and will destroy your children too. That's the truth. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're saying this morning. You teach them God's ways. You show them God's ways, and they will prosper. They will have good success. They won't hate. But you let a child be a child, because there's one chance in a lifetime. In the 70, 80, 90 years, you have one chance. Those first 12 years, the blessed years. We need to let our children be children and let God and family lift them up. Amen. Give God praise this morning. They see your faith. Even your grown-up children see it. They'll see a change in you. Your grandchildren will see something. They'll see it. They'll say, I want what you got. I want that peace that you have. I want that joy that you have. I want that knowledge that you have. How you treat people matters. How you treat your children matters. We lift them up to God and let God bless them, but we need to teach them those gentle ways of love and kindness and how to forgive and how to have compassion and how to tell the truth and how to be kind, and that respect is never given, it is earned. And if we teach them to serve, and they will be heroes. Let me say that. Teach them to serve, and they will be heroes, because they will be serving other people, helping other people, and they will be, their names will be lifted up, and they will be lifted up. Amen? Hallelujah. Children, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus was with the disciples, and he lifted up the bread, and the disciples all looked at him, Roger, and he took the bread, and he broke the bread, and he blessed the bread, and he told his disciples, this is my body being torn for you. I'm going to get whipped, beaten, and stuff, but I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to stand in the gap for you. I'm going to take every sin of the world. I'm going to take them on for you. Your sins, every sin you committed, I'm going to be it. And he holds the bread up, and he said, then he takes the bread, and he passes it to his disciples. And he tells the disciples, this is my body being torn for you. And he tells them, eat and do this in remembrance of me, in Jesus' name. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's not an opinion, it's not a thought, it's a commandment. So Lord, forgive us today for anything that we're holding on to, any attitudes that we have, Lord, anything that keeps us from you, any doubts, any worries, any frustrations. Lord, forgive us for the words that we might have used this week, or our thoughts this week, or any actions this week. Cleanse us, Lord. We simply want to be cleansed this morning, Lord, so that we can receive the sacrament of your blood. He took the wine, and he poured it into a cup, and his disciples watched. And he said, this is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins. And he said, drink and do this in remembrance of me, in Jesus' name. Be healed, church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Your way, Lord, not man's way. Your thoughts, Lord, not my thoughts. We hope in you. We pray to you, Lord. We want you to guide us. We want you to be that light that we will follow. And as we follow you, Lord, we want to be lights for people behind us to follow, because we are your disciples, Lord. You've called us to spread the word. You've called us to teach others about the love of God, Lord. We will do that. We will be kind to each other. We will love each other. We will forgive each other. We will show people kindness that they didn't understand. We will give them a reason to look towards God. And then we will be successful. We lead them to God, and we will be successful. They will be successful. Leading them to hope that they didn't have before. Leading them to a faith that they didn't know possible. All good with Jesus. Hallelujah. Give him praise, church. Miss Faith, you have a testimony you want to share?
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. About a month ago, I asked everyone to please think of this young man in the Netherlands. His name is Bram. He is now 6 years old. He has liver cancer, and the chemo was making him very sick. And today is about children, and it should be, because what I'm about to say to you is wonderful. On the 10th of November, which was a few days ago, I got a message from the Netherlands from my gal. And she told me that Bram is having surgery right now. He's getting a new liver from his uncle, and he has been tested and found to be the best match for him. He's having surgery right now. He's giving a part of his liver to Bram. That was the other day. This morning, I got something that says, Bram is doing fine. He is sleeping most of the time. They're keeping him sleeping. They've put him in a medically induced coma. When he is awake, he's angry and upset and trying to pull all the tubes out of him. He doesn't realize. Little does he know that they're keeping him alive, and his new liver is well blooded, and his everything is under control, and so his body is doing great. His uncle is home, resting and getting healthy again, and they both had a very big surgery. I want to thank every single one of you, the people who are here and the people who are not here, that helped this young man, and I thank every single one of you. God bless you all.
I said a couple of weeks ago, things happen in your life, and you never know who was praying for you. Something could have happened, it didn't happen, and you wonder, was somebody praying for you? People pray. You don't even know when people are praying for you. We're a family in Christ here. We should be praying for one another always. Pray for your church members. But other things happen in your life, and sometimes you have to stop and say, wow. Was somebody praying for me? We prayed for that young man, and we're still praying for that young man, and we're believing for miracles because we believe in the God of miracles, amen? But we need to stay in prayer and have faith in prayer and believe God hears our prayer. We need to let our children be children. I'm not speaking against anything that they want to teach. I don't know enough to speak against it, except to say that we don't need to teach our children how to judge. We don't need to teach our children how to feel less, feel guilty about something they had nothing to feel guilty, something they had nothing in their hands in. They're children. I pray, Lord, that you see this message today and tell people, why don't we just let children be children? They're not ready to receive it. They're not ready to remember. Their brain's not ready. So let them be children. Let them learn the things in school. Let them learn respect. Let them learn math and spelling. And let them shine in those things. And then raise them up. When they get older, there's plenty of time for disagreement. There's plenty of time for argument when they get older. But let our children simply be children. Because God told us, you better keep your hands off those little children because they belong to Him. Hallelujah. Thank you for this message. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to ask you to bless the United States of America, Lord, we're calling on you. Zippy? You looking at the flag? God
bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the light with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairie, to the ocean, white as snow. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
God bless you all.